Have you ever been on a 45 to the downwind, scanning like your life depends on it, and spotted traffic coming right at you from the opposite direction? That moment where your brain locks up for half a second and you think, "Who moves?" I'm pattern on traffic pattern, and that question has a real answer. It's in the Federal Aviation Regulations, and it's one of those rules that sounds simple on paper but gets messy in the air when you're closing on somebody at a combined 200 knots. This is Radio Hangar. And today, we're going to walk through FAR 91.113, the right-of-way rules, every word of it. Because the examiner will quiz you on this, and more importantly, the sky will test you on it when there's no examiner in the right seat. Shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter, AviationSoul.com. All right, let's walk through this together. Because the regulation itself is surprisingly short, but the situations it covers are not. The very first thing 91.113 tells you is this: when a rule in the section gives you the right-of-way, that does not mean you get to stop looking outside. The opening line says that when weather conditions permit, regardless of whether you're flying under instrument flight rules or visual flight rules, you must maintain vigilance so as to see and avoid other aircraft. That sentence is doing a lot of work. It means that even if you have the right-of-way, you're still responsible for not hitting the other airplane. Right-of-way is not the same as right of assumption. You never assume the other pilot knows the rule. You never assume they see you. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Think of right-of-way. Rules the way you think about driving. You might have a green light, but you still look both ways before pulling into an intersection because somebody might run the red. Same principle up here, except there are no traffic lights and nobody is in a lane. Now, let's get into the hierarchy, because there is one. 91.113 sets up a pecking order for who gives way to whom, and it's based on maneuverability. The less maneuverable you are, the more right-of-way you get. At the very top of that list is an aircraft in distress. If someone has declared an emergency, everyone gives way to them. Period. No debate, an aircraft in distress has the right-of-way over all other air traffic. That one is intuitive. If somebody's engine just quit, you get out of their way. Below that, the order goes like this. A balloon has the right-of-way over everything that is not in distress, then a glider, then an airship, which most of us will never encounter, but the FAA put it in there anyway. Then an airplane or rotorcraft towing or refueling another aircraft. And at the bottom of the priority list is a powered airplane or helicopter just flying along minding its own business. That's you in the Cessna 172. That's you in the Piper Cherokee. You give way to all of those categories above you. Why this order? Think about it. A balloon pilot cannot change heading, cannot add power. They go where the wind takes them. A glider has no engine, they can maneuver, but they can't climb away from a conflict. The more flexibility you have, the more the rules expect you to use it. Now here's where it gets practical. Forget the balloons and airships for a minute. What you're going to encounter in real life over and over is two powered airplanes meeting each other. And 91.113 covers four specific scenarios. Scenario 1, head-on two airplanes are approaching each other on roughly opposite courses. What do you do? Each aircraft alters course to the right. Both of you. Not one. Both. You each turn right, you pass on each other's left side, and you go on about your day. This is the one that scares people the most, because head-on closure rates are fast, but the response is dead simple. See traffic on the nose? Turn right. Here's the nuance. The regulation says approximately head-on. You don't need to be nose-to-nose. If it looks like they're coming roughly at you, turn right. Don't sit there debating whether your courses are truly reciprocal. Just turn right. You can sort out the geometry later. Scenario 2. Converging. Two aircraft at approximately the same altitude are on paths that will cross. Who gives way? The aircraft that has the other on its right side gives way. Let me say that differently. If you look out your right window and see an airplane, that airplane has the right of way. You must give way. You alter your course. You go behind them. You climb or descend. You do whatever it takes to avoid them. The memory trick that every student learns is this. If they're on your right, they're right. They have the right of way. Simple. And it works every time. But here's where I see students get tripped up on check rides. The examiner will sometimes reverse the question. They'll say, you're flying along and you see traffic out your left window converging on you. Who has the right of way? You do. But But remember what we said at the top, having the right of way does not mean you stop looking. It does not mean you hold course and expect the other guy to move. You watch them, you have a plan. If they're not turning, you turn. Scenario 3, overtaking, you're behind another aircraft and you're faster, you're catching up to them. Who has the right of way? The aircraft being overtaken? Every time. If you are coming up behind someone, you stay out of their way. You pass well clear. You can pass on either side, but you have to give them room, and you do not cut back in front of them until you're well past. Think of it like passing on a highway. You don't merge back in while you're still next to the other car. The definition of overtaking matters here. The regulation draws the line at an angle. If the other aircraft is within 70 degrees of your nose, roughly, and you're coming from behind them, that's an overtake. They probably cannot see you. Assume they cannot see you. It's on you to stay clear. Scenario 4. Landing. This is the one that generates the most radio chatter and the most confusion at busy non-towered airports. Two or more aircraft are approaching to land. Who goes first? The aircraft at the lower altitude has the right of way, but, and this is the key phrase in the regulation, you cannot use this rule to cut in front of someone or to take advantage of it by diving below them on final. The regulation specifically says that the aircraft at the lower altitude shall not take advantage of this rule to cut in front of or overtake the aircraft, making a straight in or any other approach. In other words, if you're number two, don't descend below the guy in front of you and then claim right of way. That's not how it works. The rule exists to protect the airplane closest to the ground because that airplane has the least room to maneuver. It does not exist, so you can game the pattern. And if you're at a towered airport, all of this gets superseded by ATC instructions. The tower sequences you, and you follow their instructions. 91.113 is your Bible at non-towered fields and in the open sky. Let me give you a real scenario that ties several of these together. You're inbound to an uncontrolled airport. You're on a 45 to enter left, downwind for runway 27. You hear another pilot announce they're on a 3-mile final straight in for the same runway. You're about the same distance out. Who has the right of way? This is one of those questions that generates bar fights at the airport diner. The regulation doesn't prefer pattern entries over straightened approaches. Both are legal at a non-towered field. So it comes down to converging traffic and altitude. If you're at pattern altitude and the straight-in traffic is below you on a normal glide path, they're lower, and the lower aircraft has the right of way. But neither of you should be playing chicken. You're both supposed to see each other, talk on the radio, and work it out. The practical answer in the real world is communication and cooperation. Make your radio calls, announce your position and intentions. If it's tight, one of you extends, one of you does a 360, and everybody lands safely. The regulations give you the framework, but good judgment fills in the gaps. The examiner is looking for you to know the hierarchy, know the four scenarios, and apply them correctly. They'll often set up a scenario and ask what you'd do. The trick is to reference the rule and then add the safety layer on top. You might say, the other aircraft has the right of way because they're on my right, so I would alter my heading to pass behind them, and I would continue to monitor their position visually. That answer shows you know the reg and you know flying. There's one more piece of 91.113 that catches people off guard. It covers operations on the surface too. If you're taxiing and an airplane is on final or about to land, you must give way. If two aircraft are converging while taxiing, the one on the left gives way to the one on the right. Same principle as in the air. And if you're departing, you cannot take off or taxi onto a runway until you're sure there's no conflict with aircraft already on final. I've seen students at busy practice airports get so focused on their run-up that they forget to look at the final approach path before taxiing onto the runway. That's a violation of 91.113 and, more importantly, it's dangerous. So, let me give you the condensed version you can carry with you. Aircraft in distress, top of the list, balloons, gliders, airships, then towing aircraft, then you head on. Everybody turns right. Converging, the one on your right wins overtaking, the one in front wins landing. The lower one wins, but you can't game it. And see and avoid is your job no matter what. One more thing. The regulation applies equally to drones now. Unmanned aircraft have to give way to manned aircraft, every time. If you're flying and a drone is nearby, you have the right of way. But that doesn't mean you should fly through the drone. You still see and avoid. On your next flight, I want you to practice this. Every time you spot traffic, identify which scenario from 91.113 applies. Is this a converging situation? Who has the right of way? What would I do if they don't move? Make it a habit, because the day it matters, you won't have time to look up the regulation. Most of this comes straight from Title 14 of the Code of Federal Regulations Part 91, and the FAA's Aeronautical Information Manual has some great supplemental guidance on collision avoidance in Chapter 5. Find more at radiohangar.com. Fly the rules, but fly your eyes first. I'm Pattern. See you next time.